Proverbs chapter number 6 tonight. We have been studying the book of Proverbs. We've been in chapter 6 now. I think this is our third Wednesday night in chapter 6. We're going to read again tonight the same verses we read last week, and we'll see if we get any further than this. But we're going to start with verse number 16 of Proverbs chapter number 6. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in the running into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Now give us understanding of what you have for us. As we study the book of Proverbs, your wisdom versus the world's wisdom, guide us and direct us. Help us to apply it to our life, but make it simple that we can understand it, please. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We learned last week that there's a list of things that God really gets irritated with, if you will. These things, as this list indicates, are ones that really are done against other people. These are things that are done to hurt other people. Things that we think about, things that we do, things that we don't really realize that really affect other people. Here we see the book of Proverbs where God's setting time alone having a conversation with you and me. This is a very personal conversation he's having with us. He says, "My son, my child, my loved one, I love you. There's some things you need to have in your life that'll make a world of difference for you. Things that'll make things better for you. Things that'll change not only your eternity, but eternity of those around you." So as he speaks to us as his children on a one-on-one basis, and that's how you need to look at the book of Proverbs. It's a personal conversation he's having with us individually. It's not what we're learning generally, it's what we're learning individually. About looking at life from God's point of view, from God's direction, not our direction. We already know what the world says. The world says, me first, me first. But God says that's not the best way to be. That's not how I see life. That's not what's beneficial for you. I know that as my children were growing up, my wife and I would sit down at different times and at various times with each one of them. We'd have what I call heart-to-heart talks. Just things. Maybe it was just driving down the road and we just started talking. And we told them things that we thought were important. Now, they're grown and gone. Now, it's up to them to put those things to use in their life. Well, there's times that we just get busy in life. But we don't hear the voice of God very clearly. And these are the things that we need to have brought to mind, what He's trained us in, what He's taught us in as His children. The first thing we learned last week, that a proud look, or one that exalts himself above another person. God doesn't want us to be that way. He doesn't want us to be filled with pride, where we look at ourselves and think we're better than somebody else. Where we're arrogant, rude, think ourselves to be above others. Listen, everybody's the same. I'm no better than you are, and you're no better than I am. And we don't need a place of arrogance in anybody today. We need to realize that everybody's the same. All of us, no matter who we are, or where we're at, or where we came from, or how we were brought up, we all have needs. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And all of us need salvation. All of us need the Lord's hand in our life. And none of us are perfect. All of us fail. And even when we think that we've reached the pinnacle in life, we still haven't reached that pinnacle in life. Then he tells us a lying tongue. He who neither loves to tell the truth or tells the truth. We learned last week all of us are untruthful. We all deceive. We all are. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have lied. All of us have. There's nobody here in this room that hasn't told a lie. And because of that, oftentimes when somebody else lies to us, we get offended. But people lie. It's not a good trait. And we need to learn not to do that. We need to learn to tell the truth walk in the truth. Even though sometimes the truth may hurt, even though sometimes we don't maybe like what the truth says, we need to live in truth. Then we learn hands that shed innocent blood, whether by murder or by battery or whatever. We learned last week that offends the Lord. He doesn't want us to shed innocent blood. We learned last week how that lying or thinking we know better than somebody else, pride, or lying, or telling what we think we know to be the truth, even though it may not be as accurate as we think it is, all of those can cause us to conjure up things that cause us to shed innocent blood. When I mislead you about someone, or you mislead somebody about somebody else, or somebody misleads somebody about you, that hurts us. We're shedding innocent blood. I said last week, I talked about a crime I witnessed, and I tried to give my eyewitness testimony to the police, and I tried to describe the person that was involved with this crime, and then later on, before the police officers left, I had a chance to look at a videotape of the crime being carried out, and I realized that my description of him was wrong. What I thought I saw isn't really what I saw. And I didn't intend to get the police to mislead them in any way, shape, or form. It's just that not always what we think is happening really is happening. And what we think we saw may not be what we saw, or what we think we heard may not be what was really said. Because oftentimes, we don't put it all together. Everything happens so fast in life. Conversations go by so quickly. And oftentimes, we just hear a bit of something, and then our mind adds things to it that really aren't there. Or we see a bit of something, and our mind adds something to it that may have not really been there. And it's not that we're intentionally doing that, but that's a weakness in humanity. And that's what he's warning us about. He's warning us that there are some weaknesses in humanity that cause other people harm and harm us as well. And so to be careful about that. So feet that are swift to shed innocent blood. So we don't want to shed folks' blood physically. We don't want to do it emotionally. We don't want to do it intellectually. We don't want to hurt other people. That's the whole point here. Then he says, a heart that devises wicked imaginations or things that we fabricate that are in our hearts. You ever been in an argument with somebody? Left that argument. And you kept going on in your mind. And you came up with conclusions that weren't accurate. But you came to those conclusions and you believe those conclusions just as if they're put in concrete. But they're inaccurate because our minds went down a trail that they should not go. We need to be careful about what we think. And the conclusions that we allow our thoughts to come to, whether they're accurate or not accurate. We learned that a couple of verses last week. We learned Psalm 36:4. It says, "He that devises mischief upon his bed, he setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil." We learned last week that this is talking about a person who lays down in bed and he starts to think about some things that aren't exactly accurate or true or honest or of good report. And he lingers on them. And he comes to conclusions and he forces those conclusions to happen because we can force something to happen because we think it. Regardless of whether it's going to go that way or not, we can force it to go that way because that's how we think. Did you ever hear of somebody making themselves sick because they thought they had a sickness but they really don't have a sickness? But they mentally did? Our minds are amazingly strong. And we can deceive ourselves. The heart is wicked. And we can deceive ourselves with what it comes up with. When we were married, early married, I remember one time my wife had said something to me as I left for the work that day. And I misunderstood what she said, or I misheard it, Anyway, I went to work and I thought about it. And the more I thought about it, the angrier I became. You ever have that happen to you? And the more I thought about the matter I got, and the more by the time I got home, I was furious inside. And when she said, "Well, what's wrong?" I said, "Well, you should know." And, wait a minute. She's not the one that thought about it all day long. I'm the one that thought about it all day long. I'm the one that came to these conclusions that were not accurate conclusions. I'm the one that took it down roads that it doesn't belong down. And that's what he's warning us about here. These are wicked imaginations because they hurt other people. They hurt us. They hurt our destination. They hurt our testimony. They hurt our relationships. Because we allowed our mind to go on places they should not go. We allowed our mind to think on things they should not think on. So we allowed our imagination. It's good to have a good imagination. Sometimes I think our children today don't get a chance to really exercise their imagination because everything's out there for them to see. We live in a visual society. When I grew up, you had to read. And when you read, every summer my mom would make us read books all summer long. We're going to go to the library. We're going to get these books. You're going to sit down and read these books. And I learned to love reading. I love to read even now. I love to read stuff that are just mindless things like old-fashioned westerns, you know, romance westerns, kinda. But I like to read things that don't make me have to think about how to develop something, but just enjoyable reading. And boy, I see all sorts of things in my mind because I use my imagination. It's not wrong to have an imagination. It's using our imagination wrong that is the issue. So God wants us to, listen, when I read His Word, I want to use my imagination to see things that are there. And to avoid those things that He wants me to avoid. So I want things to come to life in my mind. I think I know what every disciple looks like, every apostle. I think Peter's got flaming red hair, okay, with freckles all over his face. But a big, strong, masculine fella who doesn't talk good English. apparently he doesn't talk English because, you know, he probably talks Hebrew. But anyway, but that's just, you know, I could just see him. He's a fisherman. Tough, rugged fisherman. With tough, rugged hands. He probably looks nothing like what I think he looks like. But that's what my mind sees. I have an image of what I think Moses looks like. What David looks like, what other Bible characters look like, what their places that they went to, and they talk about it in the Word of God. I've never been there, so I imagine what they're like. Sometimes I just like to imagine what heaven's like, and the glories and the splendor of heaven. All those are things that are okay to think about, as long as we control our imagination along the right lines. The next thing he tells us, number 5. Feet that be swift in the running of mischief. All right, feet that be swift running into mischief. These are people he's talking about when we run into. When this is something we do, are all guilty of all of these things. When we walk with iniquity and greediness, when we go into mischief. We want things that necessarily are for us. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 16 says this, "For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood." We need to be careful where we run off to, where we carry ourselves to, where we allow our feet to bring us. We need to be careful that we're not running swift into things that are mischievous. The word mischievous or mischief comes from the Hebrew word rah, R-A-H. It means exceedingly great grief and harm or exceedingly great hurt. We can cause tremendous mischief by going to places and hanging around with things that we ought not to hang around with. The world is calling to you and me all the time. It's always, do you hear it? Do you hear it like I do? I hear it calling all the time. Go do this, go do that. Go to this place, go to that place. Oh, it's not going to hurt you. But it does. And it ends up to shed innocent blood. Sometimes my own. I end up to go places and do things I shouldn't be doing. And hang around with a crowd that I shouldn't be hanging around with. And that doesn't just mean going somewhere. I think it means even things we allow ourselves to have even in our own homes. Things we shouldn't watch that we watch. People we hang around with that maybe are not good for us to hang around with. Conversations we listen to that we ought not to be listening to. Even when it comes to jokes and things of that nature. You know, sometimes, though I appreciate people we work with, we need to be careful how we allow ourselves to associate with folks we work with and folks we go to school with. We find that something starts to drag us down somewhere in our own personal life, or if we're dragging somebody else down, then we need to correct that. Because we're going to end up to hurt someone cause of mischief to handle, to happen to someone, and it may even be ourselves. Isaiah 59 in verse number 7. Isaiah chapter 59 verse number 7 says, their feet run to evil and make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Now we see it, the parallel here that God has in His Word. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their path. Of feet that run to shed innocent blood. So we see that God is associating this then, not just with our feet, but even with our thoughts. And the way we apply the world to ourselves. And we are wasting and destroying not only ourselves, but other people in our own lives. And maybe not being able to get the gospel message out to somebody else because of the way we act. Or the way we behave, or the things that we said, or the places we went to, and they knew that we were there. Or the things that we watched, that they knew that we watched. And they said to themselves, I'm sure you've said this to yourself too, and they call themselves a Christian? And they said that? Or they behaved that way? Or they went there? I know I've been guilty in my own personal life. And even as a pastor, of saying things and saying back to myself, I should have never said that. I should have never behaved that way. I should have never spoken in that tone. And I didn't realize what I was doing was shedding innocent blood with mischief and hurt and intent. And sometimes I've said things on purpose. And we all have. That we shouldn't have said. And you know, there's something that I learned. You can't go back and relive life. So I need to learn how to fix it while I'm going there. So it doesn't happen to me again. And it doesn't happen to others again. And that's often, it's funny to me. Every time I think I learn a lesson like this, something comes up in life and I realize I didn't quite learn that lesson all the way. And I still have more to grow. Because these are things that God's making us aware of that hurts us and hurts other people. And that's why He hates it so. Because those whom we don't intend to hurt, we hurt. And even when it comes to ourselves. That's why God hates these things. Remember, God's perfectly balanced. There's things God hates. And there's things God loves. He loves what we do for Him. Our prayer time. Our reading the Bible. Our hiding the Word of God in our heart. Our giving and helping other people. But He hates it. When we hurt other people. Now number six in this list that he has here. A false witness that speaketh lies. A false witness that speaketh lies. It seems like all this is progressive, doesn't it? Seems that one builds upon another, that builds upon another, that builds upon another, that builds upon another. So we think we're better than other people with that proud look. And then we're kind of swift to judge other people and attack them in a way that we shouldn't. And then our heart devises these things and we're swift to run into that mischief. And so we lie to get even with somebody. Or we say something we shouldn't say. We bear false witness. We speak of lies. One who takes an oath to do the right thing and doesn't do the right thing. Proverbs chapter 12 verse 17 says this, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. And oftentimes in our personal lives we've used deceit to make ourselves oftentimes feel better or to make ourselves look better. Exodus chapter 23 verse number 1, thou shalt not raise a false report, but not, put not thy hand with the wicked. To be an unrighteous witness. Wow, what a statement there. So God's telling you and I that we need to be careful what we say. We need to be careful that what we say is accurate and true. Listen, sometimes we can just give our opinion and we think, oh, well, I think this is what must have happened. Uh-oh, be careful, look out, you could be lying. Because just because you think that might be true, it may not be true. And then we can give out a false witness and cause people to be hurt and harmed in their life, in our life. And harm ourselves as well as harming other people because we made a false statement, which is a false witness. No, I know this is... Well, this must be what happened then. If you don't know for sure, then maybe we shouldn't think it. Maybe we shouldn't say it. And even if we know for sure, is it really what we thought it was? I know that as we raise our kids, we say the things like to our kids like... And they're true things. If you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. Did your mama say that to you like my mama said that to me? Yeah. Well, maybe that we should apply some of that. That's kind of what our Heavenly Father's telling us here. Listen, kids, I want you to understand this. This hurts you and it hurts other people. And it angers me. I remember when our kids were little, sometimes things would happen and I'd have to say, or my wife would say, if I have to pull this car over, or if you talk to each other like that one more time, or who decided that mom and dad aren't mom and dad anymore and that you are mom and dad? And sometimes in our Christian life, we decide that we're God and we know it all. And we come up with conclusions that are inaccurate, that cause harm. And then we try to dig our way out of it by making deceitful comments. So we don't look so bad. And it's sin. And it harms us. And it harms other people. Number 7. God says this one thing is an abomination to Him. And that's this. He that soweth discord amongst the brethren. If you continue to build on these one by one by one by one, that's what ends up to happen. We sow discord. We sow discord amongst the brethren. That's an abomination unto Him. To His soul is what He's saying. The 7th is that sowing discord amongst the brethren, it causes trouble in the family. And God doesn't want trouble in the family. I don't want trouble in the family. Nothing hurts like a family hurt. I know that this is maybe an old-fashioned kind of thought, but the truth is that blood is thicker than water. And your family you have all the time. No matter what happens in life, your brothers are your brothers, your sisters are your sisters, your mom is your mom, your dad is your dad, your relatives are your relatives, they're never going to go away, you may get mad at them, and you may fuss with them, but they are your family. Your children are never going to change, they are your children. You are their parent, and your parents are your mom and dad. That's never going to change. And yet there are so many homes and families where there's fussing and feuding and fighting. Because somebody is going down this road. And oftentimes all of us are going down this path of these 6 things the Lord hates. Which brings us to the 7th one of sowing discord amongst the family. And it's true in churches. You know, if Christians would spend as much time fighting the devil as they do fighting each other, we'd actually have some victories around here. Amen? If we spend as much time working as hard as we do to fight other Christians and work that hard to read our Bibles and to pray and to love others, even our enemies, it would change this world. It would change. Do you know our young people are looking for something that's real? Something that they can look at. Do you know that middle-aged adults are looking for something that is real? Something that they can depend on? Did you know elderly people are looking for something that's real? So what are people looking for? What are individuals looking for? Something that's real. Can I tell you what's real? Jesus Christ is real. Can I tell you what's real? He'll change our life. That's real. Can I tell you what else? Heaven is real. Can I tell you something else? Hell is real. Can I tell you something else? The devil's real. And He doesn't want us to give folks the reality of heaven. So He fights us. And we join this side. We join His team. We walk in these 7 things that the Lord hates, causing an abomination. Nothing makes a parent madder than when their own children fight with each other. Boy, does that make a parent steam real quick. And I can't imagine anything breaking the heart of our Lord more than when Christians fight one with another. All because it starts with pride. Thinking I'm better than somebody else's. I'm smarter than somebody else's. I know better than somebody else does. And that's not what God wants us to be. But it all starts back there with number 1. And it builds. And it builds. in the bills. Now each one of these individually are hurt the Lord. But they're all things that we do that cause us to hurt other people. And he says we need to stop. Let me give you a few verses and we're done. Proverbs 16:28 says this: a forward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth his chiefest friends. Somebody tells secrets about somebody else behind their back. Proverbs 22:10 says this: cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. A scorner is somebody that talks behind somebody else's back, sowing seeds of discord. To scoff, to cause problems, to cause heartache. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 23 says this: but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Hey, if you know something's wrong and it's going to cause a fight, stay away from it. That's what he's telling us. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 4: neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Wow. What a simple statement, but yet hard to live. 3 John verse 9 says, I wrote unto the church, but Theophilus, who loved they have the preeminence among them, received us not. Therefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither does himself receive the brethren, and forbid them that would, and cast them out of the church. Why? Because he's sowing seeds of discord. He's hurting the work of God. I ache tonight for all the pain I've seen in churches just in my years of my service to my King that Christians have done one to another. I've seen churches, huge churches, where people just destroy each other with their mouths. Where somebody already feels like they have the knowledge. And they have the preeminence. They're better than everybody else. And they hurt others. I've seen it in big churches. I've seen it in small churches. I see it in individuals. And I even see it in myself. So we need to guard ourselves. This is Dad saying, son, listen. This is Mom saying, honey, listen to what I'm telling you. I want what's best for you. And this is killing you. You gotta stop it. This isn't the way I think. This is the way the world behaves. We're different. We need to let my mind, let this mind which is in Christ Jesus, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to let the Lord's mind flow through us. Not our own thoughts, our own intents. Because what they do is they hurt others. Father, thank you for what we've learned tonight.